Over the weekend, Carlton lost another player, Jared, and Blues fans must be thinking, what have we done? The club said through the president, Luke Sayers, they're going to launch an investigation into their injury issues and perhaps look at doing some things differently. Nothing you can do about ACL. Like, that's just unfortunate.
I'm not sure why they put out that missive based on an ACL. I mean, ACLs happen. They're accidents. It's not something that you can do more stretches or less stretches or more or less of this and that. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances.
And they have had a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. So the thing that I'm interested in, and just from a purely salary cap point of view, the six-year, $5 million contract for Williams is not going to work out in their favour. Does it mean, because they are paying him that, they will lose a couple of players? And we've spoken about De Koning and the stretch on the salary cap. Curnow signed 7 years. Mackay signed 7 years. Mm. Cripps has signed a long-term deal. Chera, George Hewitt, Adam Sard, Blake Akers have all signed big deals. So that the squeeze is on at Carlton. And it's not a great position to be in, because when the squeeze is on when you haven't achieved anything, it's the worst possible scenario that you can be in. Now, I understand Richmond. Damien Hardwick's won 3. So let's try and milk another one. Let's get 4 and put us into football immortality. And let's go and get Hopper and Taranto. And let's just put it all out there. Spend every single dollar we've got. Give them 7-year contracts. I don't care. I want one more premiership. It's a different scenario at Carlton. So the flow-on effect from this will be interesting to see how that plays out over the next 12 to 24 months.
That is a real challenge when you're trying to get yourself out of the bottom.
Yes.
9 teams, if you like, where Carlton have been ensconced for a long period of time. You don't want to lose those players that can take you to the promised land, but if you pay them too much or you drag people in from other clubs and pay them too much, then all of a sudden when you get to Carlton's position now where they've got some good young talent coming through, it can impact. So it's going to take some self-sacrifice from some of the players. I mean, we hear what they're paid and then we know what they're paid, and sometimes there's differences. And it's going to take self-sacrifice from those who are there, the younger players, to try and build something together. And I think Geelong would appear to have done it as well as Hawthorn did it back in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Blues fans, your thoughts on that? I saw a couple of you shattered on social media over the weekend. And, of course, our thoughts to Zach Williams, who was pretty positive on his social media. And we use the resilience that he's had to have over the last couple of years to rebuild, supported by the club and his teammates. Let's get to our next guest, because he is all over everything that is happening in Perth. And there's been plenty of that in the sporting landscape over the weekend. I mean, even their baseball team was in the final. They didn't win, but another couple of teams had good weekends. His name is Ryan Daniels from Channel 7. Rhino, thanks for joining us.
G'day, Kane. G'day, Jared. Yeah, we're very successful over here, guys. You should know that by now. We just win stuff all the time.
I thought there was going to be egg on your face, though, because of the back page story, I think it was, on the West Australian, that the Perth Scorch is up against a whole heap of nobodies. And that was looking a bit nerve-wracking halfway through the run chase.
I tell you what, that was nerve-wracking. And also, I made a blue last week. I've tweeted out something along the lines of tickets will be available on Ticketmaster for Saturday's final between the Scorchers and the Sixers, completely leaving the Heat out of the equation by accident. And do you reckon the Heat fans, I didn't know there was that many Brisbane Heat fans out there, that I got absolutely murdered for it. So I was breathing a sigh of relief too. Me and the editor of the West, I reckon, were the two most relieved people in WA.
It certainly got tight. It looked until probably the last two overs as if it could have gone the other way.
Oh, yeah. And look, that's the Scorchers. I mean, if anyone who's watched them over the past 12 years, yes, they win a lot, but they do it in dramatic fashion. It's often chasing, you know, monster totals like they had to do on Saturday night, or it's, you know, having to defend a minor total and still somehow pulling it off. So they just have a knack of turning up in the big moments. And it's not always, you know, well, the thing about the Scorchers is they don't have big names. I mean, you might say Mitch Marshes, but he hasn't played all season. You know, they've had sort of decent players over the past 12 years, but mainly it's a role team. Yeah, it's mainly role stuff, which has been the really impressive part.
And they love it, like 53,000. I mean, they are one state that gets behind the BBL, and it's revitalised it in a bit of a way, hasn't it? I mean, there was criticism about the competition as a whole leading in, but the Scorchers' success is sort of put a different lens on it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like in the last maybe 6 months, BBL's really come from nowhere. Look, it was sort of slowly dying. I think we were losing a lot of that impact. Maybe the season was going on too long. I've enjoyed this season thoroughly, and not just because Perth have been good, but, I mean, they're always good. So I think there's been genuine moments where it's controlled the sporting landscape for a day here, a day there, you know, a week there. And maybe it was because sort of the, you know, the test calendar wasn't as strong as it normally is. You know, there was no India over summer, there was no England over summer, so maybe that's part of it. But I don't know about you guys, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, yeah, the crowd was massive. They turned out. They always do over here.
And the Perth Wildcats got through by about as close a margin as you can, by a point, I think it was. I mean, tell us about and explain to our audience about the media coverage over the last 12 months in relation to the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's been tough because obviously Hutchie took over the team and they missed the finals for the very first time in 35 years or something ridiculous. I mean, the Wildcats here, there's a great sense of pride attached to them. It's very similar to the Scorchers. They kind of do the right things every time. They prioritise people over talent. That's just what they do. And so for them to miss it last year, the heat really came. And I know Hutchie probably would have felt it too. And to his credit, he turned up to more games this year. He put a fair bit of effort and energy into it. And, you know, hired a new coach and found some new players. And you know, it's been a pretty good season for the Cats. I still think there was some people with pitchforks ready to march had they not won that game yesterday by the exact margin they needed to win it by. But in general, there's a lot of parochialism attached. There is to West Coast and Frio, but when it comes to the Wildcats and the Scorchers, you're getting the entire state. So it was always going to be a big deal. If I were Hutchie, I'd be sleeping pretty well last night and tonight after scraping in.
Turning your attention to the two local teams in the AFL, what's the biggest story rolling around in town at the moment outside of the Eagles' fitness?
Yeah, well, mate, you've touched on that one. The Eagles' fitness has been a really big one, and it's noticeable. You know, I know, obviously, Kane had a lot to say about that last year, and I think you've probably been proven right in a lot of ways too, and I think Luke Shuey even sort of hinted at that last week with a bit of a smirk. So they look fit. They do. They really do. You go to training, and they look slimmer. They look... there's so many numbers on the track. You know, they're big names like Yo and Shuey and Allen, these guys who haven't played much, really look sharp. So and I think on the other side of things, I mean, Fremantle, there's a lot of buzz over here. I don't know if you're getting it over there, but these guys are ready. You know, they were so impressive last year. Many didn't really expect them to be as good as they were. They sort of fell apart a little bit towards the end of the season because they're such a young side. But over here, you've got Fifey. He's trained exclusively with the forwards, which is what people have sort of been pushing for a while. They've got a really good, strong young midfield. And Luke Jackson, don't worry about Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson sharing the ruck. This kid is playing everywhere. This kid is playing like a cannonball. You watch him at training and he's roving half the time.
As a midfielder in the centre bounce with Darcy, like together? Or
Not necessarily centre bounce, Kane, but more around the ground. So if there's a stoppage, say, on the wing or at half back or at half forward, he's around the ball with Darcy as well. So I don't know if we'll see any CBA stuff, maybe a little bit. We haven't seen that yet. But what we will see is two of them running around that midfield and just throwing that weight around. Jackson moves like a midfielder. My expectation for him in the next couple of years is still as big as it ever was. I think he could be one of the best players in the AFL within 2 to 3 years. I really do.
So that being said, with the positivity around the Dockers, what's a pass mark? Yep. Is a prelim final a pass mark?
I think so, yeah. I think if you just look at their age, you'd say, look, there's no rush here. But what they achieved last year, and with the guys, the young guys, if you're looking at Cox and Brayshaw and Sarong and Young. These guys, Darcy, Jackson now as well, those guys are all real professional young guys. They're not these young guys who sort of shot out of the gate and you're like, hey, that's nice. These guys are the hardest working players at the club. They're in the leadership group. I would expect all of them to improve again another 5 to 10%. And then, you know, you've got guys that haven't even scratched the surface yet, like a Heath Chapman, Jai Amos, like they've got so much young talent. There's two new blokes, Neil Erasmus and Matt Johnson, who barely played last year. They look like, you know, in most teams, they'd be their sort of best young bright spot midfielder. There's a lot of talent there and they're well coached and they're well run. So, yeah, so I think a prelim is probably where they should be aiming to be. I don't know if it'll be bitter disappointment if they don't get it because I think there's an awareness here that this is going to be a big window. But I reckon internally and externally, the expectation should be they should be in a prelim.
Oh, well, that makes it a fascinating season. I'm not sure who's going to drop out of the finals, Rhino, but we appreciate the update, mate. Thanks for your work.
Beauty. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Daniels from Channel 7. If